The Buffalo Bills won a franchise record 13 games in 2022. Today, I'm joined by Joe Miller to rank all of those wins today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. Well, folks, today, as you can see, if you're joining us on the YouTube channel, I am joined by Joe Miller, the host of many podcasts. It feels the Overreaction podcast, the John Fina show. This guy, just follow him on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired, and you can catch all of his work over at the Buffalo Rumblings podcast feed. And of course, they're on YouTube as well. Joe Miller, my friend, welcome.
What's up? How you doing?
Joe Miller, I'm doing well.
Good. And
little known fact, the Buffalo Bills won 13 games during the regular season this year.
Fourth time, right? Fourth time in franchise.
Fourth time ever. Yeah, it's a franchise record. They've never won more than 13 games. This year, 2020, 90 and 91. And so our conversation today will be largely focused on something we've done the last 2 years. This will be our third year in a row doing this, where we go through and we rank the wins from most satisfying and, I guess, least satisfying, how much we enjoyed them. So we'll have a trip down memory lane here today on the podcast. But first, Joe, Bills Mafia is all over the place right now. Where are you? How are you feeling, my guy?
So I was stunned in the stadium, and I'm sure that you were stunned wherever you took in the game as well. It wasn't even an anger situation. You know, there's times when you sit in the stands and you're like, they're going to F around and like lose this game, and you start getting angry. And from jump, it was just a matter of what is happening during this football game. Monday, I think, is when the anger kind of set in, right? There was very much a just bleh. And by, you know, the taping of this podcast several days later, I feel like I'm coming out of it. I've had the opportunity to talk about it a couple different times on a couple different shows. I still have a lot of concerns and a lot of questions. I think the biggest one for me, where I've landed, is the surprise in how this roster went from the most complete in the NFL, mm-hmm. how quickly it went to Houston, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's literally, I mean, we got here fast. Right? We got here really, and that doesn't even include the conversation, you know, Brandon Bean had about, you know, the cap is expected to be 225, 230. We're at 240 and we haven't signed anybody yet, which means, and he said it, some guys might have to go, right? We might have to make some moves. We're going to need a bunch of cheap, inexpensive free agents, which they do that all the time anyway. They better hit on some draft picks this year, which they didn't really do last year. So I don't know where I'm at. So I think that does that, but even
you're still sorting through it.
But what's funny is like you provided me a cathartic opportunity, because doing this process and going through some of the highlights of the games to just kind of remember how I felt about the wins, I was reminded we watched a lot of good football this year. Like there was a lot of good, there was a lot of head scratchers. There was a lot of hurting themselves, but there was a lot of good football. So it was an entertaining year. We love our Buffalo Bills, right? I mean, we're going to come out of this. So I got to get my head above the funk.
Well, hopefully this proves to be helpful in that it was for me, as I kind of went through and stacked them up and was reminded of the season. One question that I've been asking myself that kind of feeds into what you just said is, how did we go from at 2:59 PM Eastern time on Sunday to loving this football team and being really excited about what it could accomplish and still really believing that they could go win the Super Bowl, to 3.5 hours later, exactly what you said? Oh my goodness, this roster is not good enough. And I think about the finality of the season, right? I think that gives you a closing point. It gives you an opportunity to really reflect and be honest about what the team is. So I think for me, that's what's allowed me to in a short period of time come away with a lot of questions, but also realizing what the Cincinnati Bengals are, and they've jumped you. They've passed you in this AFC very, very quickly. Yep. And they've passed the Chiefs too, in my opinion. Of course, we're recording this before the Bengals and Chiefs play on Sunday, but I think very clearly they're ahead of the Chiefs as well. And so you hate to see that. You hate to see other teams catch up, and you realize, well, the reality is they hit more home runs along the way over the last few years than the Bills did. And that put them in the position that they're in right now. But Joe, you offer a unique perspective. I know you go to, I mean, you've been a season ticket holder for, I think, 85 years. So
is it been my eyes? Showing in my eyes?
No. You're handsome as ever, Joe Miller. What was it like being in the stadium? I know you've been to a lot of playoff games. You've been to a lot of Bills games. As quickly as this got out of hand with them scoring that opening drive touchdown, three and out, another touchdown drive where the Bills defense looked like soft butter, three and out. Like, did it ever feel like the crowd got back into it? What was it like being in Highmark Stadium on Sunday?
I didn't feel like the crowd was ever really out of it until late, right up until that the one play on fourth and was it six, where you're sitting there going, this is the game, which I felt like the crowd early was louder than we have been in a very, very long time. There was just a lot. It wasn't even to the point of the shock and like the shock and disbelief from the Dolphins game the week earlier. The week previous, the crowd was in it. It was loud. You know, obviously after 140, Josh throws it deep on third and eight, and then the Dolphins score 11 points. The Bills kick a field goal. They come right back out after halftime, strip, sack, fumble, touchdown. And at that point in time, the crowd in the stadium was like, they're like, oh, it's so nice that the crowd's being quiet for Josh. That isn't what was going on. When the Bills had the ball back, everybody was like, what is happening right now? We're supposed to boat race this team. The Bengals, you knew, right? The Bengals, you knew they're a good team. And chances are everybody was asking me about stuff, you know, the pregame or the tailgates and stuff like that. And I was like, I expect over 60 points being scored in this football game. Like, I think it's going to be, you know, catch me if you can on both sides of the football. That's not what the Buffalo Bills chose to do, which I think is a large part of the reason that we all feel like this was a coaching situation. More so than some of the other excuses that were being given. But I felt like the crowd, to answer your question, was very much into it, very loud, very with the team, very on board with trying to stop them. I just wish the Bills defense was trying to stop them. And to your point a second ago, just about, you know, the mafia kind of like all in its feelings now, I feel like I have an answer for that. The reason it shifted so fast from 2:59 to 4:30, or not 4:30 to 7:30, is because content creators like you and me and the rest of us have been talking about the kinks in the armor. Like, there's some issues here. And the mafia has been very much like, we're the Bills. This is Josh Allen. Like, we are great. And I think there was an expectation that, like, no, we're going to pull this out. But you are who you are. I mean, Sean McDermott said it in the postgame presser. Like, your last game tells a story about who you are. And I think that's what's happened. I think all of the things we didn't want to be true, now is like, oh, all of this stuff is true, right? Doesn't that feel like kind of where we're at? It's like, oh, all the stuff we thought, yeah, the Bengals did jump us. Now we're not chasing the Chiefs. We're chasing the Chiefs and the Bengals and probably the 49ers and probably the Eagles, right? Whereas before it was like the Chiefs, then us. And we were beating the Chiefs in the regular season.
Yeah.
And now it's like there's six teams in front of us. It's like, wait, what? I blinked. I woke up the next morning and this is what happened. So that's just my thought.
Well, obviously a big offseason ahead for Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about it, of course, here on this podcast. I know you'll be talking about it as well. Yeah. But before we get there, and next week on this podcast, I'm going to focus a lot on some evaluation of what exists on the roster, so that way we can lay the foundation for what moves need to be made and just take a really good inventory of what this team actually has at its disposal. But we will have some fun here in the next two segments, ranking the wins, the 13 regular season wins. But first, today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly find attractive, qualified candidates to fill your openings with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insight from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Mm. All right, Joe Miller, let's do this thing. And I think the last 2 years that we've done this, we've went from least satisfying to most satisfying.
It's possible.
Today, I want to flip that. I want to make sure that we get to the most satisfying wins first. All right. So let's lead off. Number one, you're my guest. I'll give you honors. What was the most satisfying regular season win for you in 2022?
The most satisfying win for me in 2022 was an opportunity for me to get to hang out with you and John Fina and Jerry Ostrowski at the Chiefs game in Arrowhead, a game that was, in my opinion, anticipated for me because we'd been planning to go like from summer. And while there were some hiccups and kind of like some of the facilitation and the logistics of getting that to happen, it happened. And, the tailgate was great, right? So getting there early in the line, as far as to get in, like as good as Bills Mafia is, and I know that we are up there as it pertains to tailgating, there's something to be said for Chiefs fans that show up 5 hours before the gates open and set their tent up like in the street. So they set up for tailgate twice. They park in the street, set their tents up, and then when it feels like they're going to open the gates, they tear all their stuff down, get inside, set everything back up again. So there's something to be said for that. But that tailgate, that opportunity to hang out with you, and like I said, everybody else, you know, Alyssa O'Reilly was there. I'm trying to think. Kimmick was there. Sarah Larson was there. I'm going to miss somebody. There was just the amount of people that were there. My family, my whole family.
Yeah, your wife and kids. Yep,
which was amazing. We got our Christmas card picture there with the Miller jerseys on, hashtag Jersey for Life. And then the game. You know, that crowd is, and I tell people all the time, it's just next level. It's just, and it's not. Oh, you're saying they're louder than us? It's not about volume. It's just about the coordination. And it's about like the things that they do together and the way that they affect a game. And it's just an awesome feeling to go in there and pull out a dub. And the way the Bills did, you know, so just I got to see, you know, Stephon Diggs's touchdown happen right in front of me. There was another deep throw that happened right in front of me. And then obviously just ending the game on a Pat Mahomes interception. There was just, that game was just, I don't want to say storybook. It was just, there was a lot of anticipation coming into it and the Bills hit the bullseye, which was great. And then we get, you know, after the game, we get back to the tailgate. And the first thing, one of the first things I hear is Jerry Ostrowski in the dark going, "I came, we won. You're welcome, Bills Mafia." Mm-hmm. It was just, the whole thing was just perfect. Right.
Yeah. I think we were asked to leave there at the end. We closed down Arrowhead Stadium in the parking lot. That was, it won't take me. It's not my number one. It won't take me long to get there. My number one is week 18, the 35-23 win over the New England Patriots. Coming out of the DeMar Hamlin situation in week 17 to that being the opening possession, the opening kickoff return for a touchdown, 3 Josh Allen touchdown passes, 3 interceptions by the defense, Nyheim Hines with 2 kickoff returns for a touchdowns. It was so emotional. Right. I mean, I expected the Bills to win the game at home against New England, a team the Bills have really had their way with over the last 3 years, but the circumstances surrounding it just makes it completely unforgettable. So I had to put that as my number one most satisfying win. And you know, they had some fun plays. I mean, the bomb to Diggs, the bomb to John Brown. I mean, there were some crazy good plays in that game as well. I'm not. No negatives. I'm not going to say anything negative. I was very happy with that win. I had to catch myself there because I had something I was about to go in on. I will go into my number two. And my number two is the win at Kansas City, 24-20. Nice. For all the reasons you said, man. I mean, just a really special situation to get a chance to be with you and John and Jerry and Alyssa and Kristen and the market dominator. You know, that was, John, I got to spend some time with John. He's really cool. I had a lot of fun with John. I actually sat next to him during the game. And I've never met him before, but my goodness, that's a good dude. That's good people right there. I mean, the entire experience, like the day before, getting a chance to be at a bar where Josh Allen's father is singing karaoke with, I mean, what a special experience. And then in the tailgate lots, I felt like I was in Western New York with the amount of people that, you know, came and hung out with us and spoke. I mean, it was phenomenal, dude. Mm-hmm. Obviously the win, starting off kind of shaky with a couple of red zone turnovers from Mahomes and Allen, and then, mm-hmm. you know, some big plays from both quarterbacks. And then the game winning touchdown to Dawson Knox was obviously something I was really thrilled to see mm-hmm. in person. And then, you know, Taron Johnson picking off the ball to clinch it. I remember I didn't expect the game to end like it did. Nobody did. Yeah. Right. So it's like, was it the first or second play of that drive? Where you like the Bills score that touchdown and you're just like, okay, this is cool. This is cool. But we know what's about to happen, right? Pat Mahomes has too much time. He's going to go score the game winning touchdown. We're going to walk out of here crying. Mm-mm. Nope, it didn't happen. And nobody expected that to happen. Like even the Chiefs fan around us were like, what? Like Mahomes threw that pick there? Like they didn't even sniff getting close to scoring a touchdown. So if it wasn't for the Nyheim Hines stuff or the Damar stuff with the Nyheim Hines return, this would clearly be number one, but I had to put the Patriots winning week 18 number one, this one number two for me.
That's super, super good. Number two for me was the Rams game. So just that opportunity to be on the world stage, first game of the season, you know, as Bills Mafia, we've gone through this ever since they instituted the first game of the year being on a Thursday night. All alone, nobody else. It's always like, why not us? I mean, as much as we didn't deserve it for the better part of a decade plus, you know, it was nice to get that, to see that recognition coming in this year. Super Bowl favorites, MVP favorite, you know, Peter Schrager finally being convinced, oh, they're a freight train, they're a juggernaut, and all that kind of stuff. As far as like when you think about even the former detractors talking about this team, going out there on national TV and doing what we did to the Rams, to me, the Super Bowl champions, a game that for as much as I was nervous and you were probably nervous and everybody was nervous, that's a game that was never in doubt. And to me, it wasn't picturesque, but it was poetic. It was perfect for me as far as that goes. The reason the Chiefs game was bumped up to me was because of the opportunity that I had to be with all of you guys and just that whole entire experience. But the Rams game was number two for me. Number three is the Titans game, the Monday night home opener Titans game. Again, a lot because of what happened pregame. So, you know, obviously being out there, everything was shut down by, they closed school. Like they did half days of school in Orchard Park in Hamburg, where I live, just to get the kids off the buses and like away from what was going to happen, but traffic and all that kind of stuff. Obviously they knew that parents were going to be going to the game as well. So, but I mean, to shut down school, I think they sent my kids home at 11 or 11:30. The whole entire area was shut down. It was just absolutely incredible. And then it's again, primetime Monday night. I hate the Titans. I don't know how all other members of Bills Mafia feel, but I cannot stand. And it's a different type of hate than I have for like Dallas and that I have for, you know, the Dolphins. They just irritate me. I don't know what it is about that team. So then to just thump them the way that we did, and that to me was my number three most satisfying win, just being in the stadium, being with the crowd. The crowd was excited and lit. It was warm outside. If you remember last year, it was cold in the home opener. So there was just a lot about that game that I liked. So that was number three for me.
I got to get to a home opener. That's yes, something I got to prioritize.
It's a carnival. Like it's crazy.
Got to do it. Number three for me is the week one win Thursday night over the LA Rams. Crashed their party. They hung a banner. The Bills came away with a 31-10 win. Von Miller, two sacks against his former team. I remember the nerves that I had going into that game. They were significant. And I went to LA for this game, and I was only there for like 24 hours, which is plenty of time for me to be in LA. I'm about ready to leave after about 10 minutes. So was happy to only be there for a short period of time, but was really cool to see SoFi Stadium, to be at that game. Felt very honored to be there. But I remember the way I was feeling, just a lot of nerves going into it because I wanted the Bills to play well, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember talking myself into being okay, and it was just because Josh Allen, right? I was like, the last two games I did watch from Josh Allen in primetime against the Patriots and the Chiefs, this guy was unbelievable. It's going to continue into this one. Everybody's watching. I know he's going to show up and put on a show. I gained some confidence. But then for it to happen was really cool. I mean, obviously the four turnovers weren't really exciting. A lot of those weren't really on Josh, but in some ways it was a little foreshadowing of some stuff that was going to be a problem for us the rest of the way. But getting that win on that stage was huge. Being there was awesome. And the hype, right? It was like, all the hype was validated on that night, and something I won't forget. So that comes in at number three for me.
Nice.
And at number four, here's one we haven't got into yet. It's the week four win at Baltimore, 23-20, very tight win. Obviously, Jordan Poyer picking off Lamar Jackson, game-winning drive from Josh Allen. Tyler Bass hits the game winner. There's rain. What was really satisfying to me about this is this: the week before was the loss to the Dolphins, like whatever that 20-19 stupid circumstances with the heat and just one of the most statistically dominating performances you'll ever see. But the Bills lost. And the narrative really kicked in about the Bills can't win close games.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I pushed back so hard on that narrative. And then after the Dolphins game, I'm like, damn it, I'm in. They can't win close games. So I go in on it, right? I'm going in on this, like on the podcast and stuff. And then the next week, here they are, like a very, very much a neck and neck game comeback, right? They were down 17, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Did all the things that they weren't supposed to be able to do and kind of squash that narrative and then continued to squash that narrative the rest of the season. But I think that road win against Lamar Jackson, when he was kind of hyped up, getting the one score win, dramatic fashion, the rain, very satisfying win for me.
Super good. So number four for me is a little bit of a point of contention, because you had it, I believe, number one, the Patriots, the second Patriots game. You know, we can probably affectionately, would we call it the DeMar Hamlin game has to be the Monday night canceled game. Sure. This would be the Nyheim Hines game, right?
Yeah.
You didn't want to be negative. The reason there's a point of contention for me is because I had it 13.
You could say whatever you want. I just didn't want to. I was going to go in on Gabe Davis not dropping the pass in the end zone to keep the Bills away from a 40 burger. Okay. I said it.
Yeah. I had it 13 because there was just a great. I moved it to four. I moved it from 13 to four. That's the story with that game. And the reason is all of the things that you said, Nyheim Hines, you know, two touchdown for, you know, returns for touchdowns, the three touchdowns Josh threw, the three interceptions. For me, there was just a great deal of what is happening here, when literally the reason I had it at 13, it just wasn't satisfying to me because they made Mac Jones look so good. All of the conversation leading into that game about Mac Jones the last back half of the year was like, this kid's awful. He's horrible. And the Bills trot the nickel 4-2 out there, play off coverage, play soft with no preparation, understandably why they weren't preparing, and made Mac Jones look like a superstar in that football game. So that's why it was just, I felt it wasn't satisfying. And then I had to go back and rethink it. And I was like, wait a second, timeout. Like, it kind of come back to that opening kickoff return for a touchdown and just all of the splash plays and the things that were happening. So for me, the Patriots game is number four. Number five is the first Patriots game. Sorry about that. I had those backwards. The first Patriot game is number. So back-to-back Patriot games is satisfying for me. And I think a big part of that is finally seeing James Cook start to look like the game wasn't too big for him. Mm-hmm. So he went from being a little bit hurried, a little bit rushed, a little unsure of himself when he got the football. You know, we've all been there. The first time you get to play in a baseball game, the first time that, you know, that you're in the batter's box and like they're throwing pitches at you and you're like, I'm not sure what to do with myself. Or if you played football and like when you get on the field and you got tunnel vision, James Cook early on in the season, first four or five games looked like, and we all talked about it, the game was just too big for him. And that Patriots game, that first game, was literally where we saw James Cook kind of turn a page. Where he would get the ball and he would immediately find a hole and go through it. He'd get the ball, and if the hole wasn't there, he'd stop and he'd wait. And he'd be like, okay, I'm just going to wait a second. And then bang, and dart through a hole. So that was a big part of that for me, why that was satisfying, because I've got a lot of anticipation and expectation for him going into 2023 and beyond. I'm not necessarily a believer that he can't be a bell cow back like his brother is. He's an inch taller. Yes, he's 10 pounds lighter, but that doesn't mean he can't put 10 pounds on. 10 pounds in an offseason for an NFL player is nothing.
Oh, I can do that for sure.
Right. I think I did. But it was also one of the games where, even with heavy pressure and Quisenberry being hurt and then Bobby Hart having to go in and then Quisenberry going back in the game, you know, playing for Deion Dawkins with his foot darted out to the side, like he could barely walk. Even with the pressure Josh was at, under, that offense looked like the offense from 2021 again for the first time since the Packers game, which obviously was a win as well. So there was just a lot of, anytime you're beating an AFC East opponent, It's going to tick up. But there were some special things in that game to me that was just, it was just, yeah. So for me, number five was the first Patriots game.
So you have your division, the Patriots wins, they're higher than any other division win. Just taking inventory.
Yes, you are.
Bill Miller's 10-6.
Correct inventory, yes.
Yeah. All right, number five for me is Thanksgiving, Thursday in Detroit, 28-25. They kept us nervous that game, but something I won't forget is that throw from Allen to Diggs over the middle of the field, first play of that drive when they kind of needed that field goal to win it. Mm-hmm. And that was a special moment. That was getting out of a lull. That was putting us through a lot of frustration. But then kind of coming out was really cool to hit that throw and then set up T-Bass for the game winner. Thanksgiving always kind of special. We've become very used to playing on Thanksgiving in recent years. And, man, it's never going to get old watching Josh Allen eat turkey legs on my TV screen on Thanksgiving. So right. As much as I hate complicating my holidays with the Bills football game, if it ends with turkey legs and 17 eating it, sign me up. So it was a fun win, obviously, Thanksgiving, but that big throw was one of those unforgettable moments of the season for me. Number six is the Monday night home opener against the Tennessee Titans. The Bills win 41-7. This was, you know, if we thought the 31-10 win over the Rams was validating, this was the exclamation point on top of that, because the Titans were the one seed in the AFC the year before, and the Bills smoked them. I mean, I've never seen this before. It was 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter, and Mike Vrabel put in his backups. I've never seen a team wave the white flag that early in an NFL game. Usually you get to the fourth quarter, and then you do that. But for there to be 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter and him to say, yeah, we're good here. I got to – this is embarrassing. Like, that was fun, right? And I don't love the Titans either. For a while, you know, there's a lot of history there. I have some friends that are Titans fans, and, you know, they're – tend to be a little bit on the confident side. So it was nice to win that one in convincing fashion. But I remember coming out of that game, like there was like some level of belief thinking about the way the Bills ended the season before, then the Rams game and this Titans game, right? You're one seed in the AFC, you're Super Bowl champions. Like, did the Bills break the code of football? Did they figure it out? Are they just going to win every game like this? Right. Like, I know it didn't happen, but taking myself back to that moment and remembering how I felt, that was very much kind of the belief there. So if there ever was time to buy in on the hype, it was after the Bills dismantled the Titans.
Yeah, super good. So six for me, you've already mentioned as well, was the victory over the Lions, 28-25. for the exact same reason that you talked about, what's interesting about this game, when you think of it's world stage, right? Thanksgiving, you're the only game on. You're finally getting to play in Detroit after, you know, being in Dallas, and then the 8:30 game in New Orleans the year before. But for me, just setting the stage, we're at my in-law's house, and he has cut the cord. My in-law has. So he's got the cord. So the first conversation is with, and we bounce around family to family, right? So sidebar, family to family, as far as like on holidays and stuff like that. So we always do Christmas Eve at my house, and my wife makes this enormous prime rib, but like Thanksgiving, we'll switch it up and stuff like that. And she's like, this year we're going to my brother-in-law's house. I'm like, well, first of all, he doesn't have cable. She's like, so I'm like, well, the Bills game is on, number one. So does he have CBS? And she's like, I don't know, let me ask him. So she texts him and she says, yes, he's got CBS. And I was like, okay, then I'm going. She's like, you wouldn't go if he didn't? I was like, no. No,
right,
I'm not going to his house. I'll show up late. And then it was like, and then, you know, I'm leaving early, right? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, I got a show to do. I've got a post game show. You're gonna do it on Thanksgiving? Yes, like I'm gonna do my show on Thanksgiving. I did not do it on Christmas Eve. Just saying. Family is more important on Christmas Eve than Thanksgiving. So set that up. So he's cut the cord. So I don't remember exactly where it was in the final couple minutes of the game. So it was probably 4 minutes to the end or 3 minutes to the end. Fuse trips. Wi-Fi goes out. TV goes black. And I'm just sitting there like, and it's like a critical time in the game. I'm like, what? Dude, I marched my butt outside. To like, and I set my phone up on the car, pulled up the NFL Plus app, and I watched the ending of that game on my phone screen on the top of my car. Like,
I'm find a way, Joe Miller.
Yeah. Oh, would you say find a way?
I said, find a way, Joe Miller. Yeah, that's right.
By the way, sorry about that. So, like, I'm standing in my brother-in-law's driveway, arms in the air, like jumping up and down, like at the throw. So not even at the kick, like at the throw, I was just losing my mind in a driveway all by myself in Elma, New York. It was just, yeah. So to me, that was a long story for something you'd already talked about. Same things, just different scenario, right? So I apologize if I went too long on that one. Real quick for me, number 7, Ravens game. For a lot of the same reasons that you said, coming from behind, showing that they could come from behind. So, I mean, there was a lot going wrong in that game again, coming off of, again, I believe the Dolphins game, that where a lot was going wrong or did go wrong. What, there were 6 mistakes or 5 mistakes that could have easily changed the balance of the Dolphins game that they lost. So just to see that kind of continue and then pull themselves out of it was very satisfying for me. So the Ravens, what was the score? You just said it a second ago. The 23-20 win over the Ravens was number 7 for me, for sure.
Number 7 for me is the Dolphins home win, week 15, Saturday night. The game got flexed into a standalone Saturday night game.
Yep.
Bills win 32-29, obviously a big time drive at the end to ice it. The snow kind of kicks up there late in the game. Mike McDaniel wishes it was colder and it got colder and this team lost. But being able to avenge that loss from earlier in the season, which was a silly loss, to win at home, it was also really kind of buried the Dolphins in a way. They were kind of spiraling, right? Didn't they lose 6 in a row? This was, I think, probably their
5. Was it 5 in a row?
A lot. They were 8-3.
It was a bunch.
Yeah, they lost a bunch in a row. The Bills were able to kind of compound their issues there. Mm-hmm. A lot of big plays from the offense. Very satisfying win under those circumstances to really kind of, you know, put the Dolphins' playoff hopes in doubt. And obviously the Bills put them in the postseason in week 18 with all the results there, but to kind of put the Dolphins into more of a spiral while you win a close game at home in dramatic fashion was a win that I really, really enjoyed.
Awesome.
The NFL playoffs are here, and we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with a $150 bonus in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, Joe Miller, we have 6 more games to rank here, 8-13. And we had a lot of commonality at the top, and we have a lot of games that we haven't mentioned yet that right. I think we're going to have a lot of commonality at the bottom here, maybe a little bit different orders, but we have them in the same tiers. It certainly feels like. I'll give you the honors here to lead.
No, you go 8. First. You did think, 7.
Well, I was trying to be courteous to my guests, but I guess your family here.
Joe, by the way, I've been saying for a couple of years that you and I share a brain. You know that I've been saying that. Like I've told you before, you're my check with me. So like when I do my show on Sunday night, I listen to your show on Monday morning. Then I'm like, okay, we're pretty much on the same.
Well, it continues here. All right, I'll lead off here. Number 8 for me, Thursday night win over the New England Patriots. This was 5 on your list. Week 13, Thursday. Was kind of fun to play back-to-back Thursdays. That way you didn't kind of get that short week. You know, it was nice to kind of be on the same playing field. But, man, the Bills defense was dominant in that one. The Patriots didn't have a pulse. Just really got to Mac Jones, shut him down. Had, you know, some big plays on offense. It felt like a bigger margin of victory than 24-10.
Agreed.
You know, a game that you never felt like was close at all, just the way the defense showed up and suffocated that offense, something I really enjoyed in a standalone Thursday night game against a division rival.
Yeah. So it's my turn, yeah? Number 8?
Yep, number 8.
So for me, this is where I've got the Jets, the Bills' victory of the Jets 20-12. For me, there was just something to see the defense impose its will upon the Jets, which is it puts me in a very weird position because, and I don't know that you and I have talked about it necessarily on a show. I've had conversations about it with everybody from the likes of John Fina. I think we had Tasker on the show and I asked him and just a bunch of people. I don't understand why you've got the capability. you've got the ability, you've got the horses to scheme and take away best parts of teams of what they want to do on offense. When you're a defensive team, they can blitz. They've got everything you need, and they show it in a game like that against the Jets, and they just pummel Mike White. I mean, they just stomped him into the ground. They stomped a mud hole in him, and then they just don't do it at other times. So there's confusion for me there, but to watch that defense do what they did in that Jets game against Mike White and against that Jets offense, and the Bills offense didn't play extraordinarily great. They just basically did what they had to do to win. Granted, the Jets defense is very good as well, but for me, you know, division rival, you've already lost to them once. Anytime you lose to a division rival once, I know you feel the same way. Going to the second one, you're like, uh-oh.
Right. Don't want to get swept by the Jets this year. Don't want to get swept by the Dolphins, right?
Exactly. So there was a lot of satisfaction for me for that game, but it was just great to see. And the Dawson Knox flip touchdown. I mean, it's like,
oh, the crazy. Yeah.
Right. The Allen helicopter. There was just fun stuff in that game. But number nine for me, another divisional opponent, the Dolphins Saturday night game, the Snow Globe game. And I think for me, as much as, again, this goes back to what I was just saying, the Bills just rolled out the nickel 4-2, and we're just going to keep everything in front of us and make you beat us. And there was some frustration in it when I was in the stands waiting for the snow, because we were told it's going to snow, it's going to snow, it's going to snow, it's going to snow. And it didn't. And like, we're halfway, three quarters of the way through the third quarter, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, you're just anticipating. And then in the fourth quarter, the snow starts to fall, and the Dolphins just folded like a chair. It was just perfect. So to see the snow coming down, they were huge flakes. Like, it was just fun. And then the way the Bills just took the last two drives, running the football down the field to just close it out, was like, yep, period at the end of the sentence. If you follow my kind of feeling there. Yeah.
Number nine for me I went to three games this year. This is the last one that I was at that I haven't ranked yet here. Sunday night against the Green Bay Packers, 27-17. Mostly the first half. The second half is where I think the turnover issues kind of started, and the Bills defensively kind of folded at times there down the stretch. But Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen on Sunday night, there was a lot of hype with just two quarterbacks that have been very good primetime quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Packers kind of in a situation where you felt like they had to have it to get their season back on track. And eventually they did. Mm-hmm. But it didn't start until after that. And I think getting to 6-1 out of the bye, some big plays in that first half. James Cook had a really fun reception. I think Dawson Knox had a touchdown in that one, that flip throw. It was a big throw to Diggs down the late in the second quarter there to put them in scoring range. Some really memorable plays. I got a chance to see Aaron Rodgers play live for the first time. And he made some fun throws in that game too. I was glad I was able to enjoy them because the Bills had a nice lead. Right. But Sunday night in Buffalo, Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen, really, really fun win. Although I think it started some bad things after that.
Yeah, that's funny because that's when I get to my Packers game. Yeah, it's which will be here in a second. Number 10 for me is the Buffalo Bills 38-3 win over the Steelers. Steelers are another one of those teams that I just don't like. They just kind of grind me a little bit the wrong way. The negative, if there's a negative from this game, is you allowed Pickett to throw for 300 yards as rookie, which is to me something you just shouldn't do. And somehow they only scored 3 points in that football game with all the yards that he threw. But just the two Gabe Davis touchdowns, what did he have? 3 catches for 150 something yards. I don't remember. It was audacious as far as that goes, is just the way that it opened. But that game was just a lot of fun to be there. And the game was never in doubt, right? And it's just like, oh, this is fun. Like, let's do more of this. Let's do this all the way to the end of the season. Just throw bombs and hit bombs. And yeah, but that was just a fun game. I don't know that I've got much more to say about it other than it was just a fun experience. 11 for me is the Packers game. For all the things that you said, primetime game, you get to see Aaron Rodgers play. You beat Aaron Rodgers. It's 27-17. The game is never really in doubt. Even after halftime, when things, the wheels, that game, to your point, is where the wheels kind of began to come off for this offense, where all of a sudden something happened, something was figured out by a defense, and it's a copycat league, And from there on out, the Bills were on the struggle bus a lot of times. And it's funny, I don't know if you follow at Yards Per Pass on Twitter. I've talked about this. I don't know if you saw his tweet. It was a couple weeks ago, but he had one of the best tweets. I may have sent it to you. He had one of the best tweets that I've ever seen about this Bills offense. And he was like, the majority of the time when you're watching the Buffalo Bills offense play recently, it's just a big giant cluster F. Like, it's just, it's like, what is going on? He goes, and then you look up and they've got 32 plus points. And you're like, how did we get here? And literally after that game is when that stuff started to happen. Whereas before that, it was very fluid and very, like, they were a good, solid, outside of probably that Ravens game where they struggled a little bit early. They were just, they could do what they want. They could impose their will upon people. So yeah, it was weird. It ended up way down on my list because of that. The only reason it ended up down at 11 is because that's where all the question marks for me kind of started showing up. It's like, uh-oh, right? Versus if that second half doesn't go the way that it goes, it's probably in the top five for me, yeah. Right? Aaron Rodgers, prime time. I mean, it was a nice day. Like, it was gorgeous outside. So, yeah, Packers.
Yeah, I remember saying, send that second half to the moon.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Number 10 for me? That's what I have to do here?
11.
No, I don't think I've done 10. I haven't done 10.
We do this every time.
Yeah, we were our pace was so good.
You did 8. I did 8 and 9. You did 9 and 10. I did 10.
No, I haven't done 10. I promise you I haven't done 10.
Dump, dump, da dum.
Number 10 for me is the 31-23 win over the Cleveland Browns. This is kind of where we get down to the lesser tiers.
Yes,
if it, wins cannot be satisfying, I guess this is where they are, although they're all satisfying. Kind of a forgettable game. This was the game that was moved to Detroit, so I certainly enjoyed all the circumstances about getting the team to Detroit and the community effort there and being able to kind of grind it out. The Bills were kind of in control of this game. I think Cleveland maybe scored late to make it look a little closer than it was. But I think the game was more forgettable than just the circumstances about getting them to Detroit for this game, losing a home game. I hated that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the community effort there was really, really special.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm supposed to go into a number 11 here. Number 11 for me is the Pittsburgh Steelers win 38-3. Like, it was bombs, man, right? The 98 yarder to Gabe, the one where he wrestles it away from Minka Fitzpatrick. Khalil Shakir had some fun down the field plays in this one. Kenny Pickett's first start, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he had some production there, and the Bills were kind of willing to let him move the pocket and take some leverage throws to Pickens there. But still some good physical plays by the defense there as well. So really enjoyed that. One thing I want to say about the Browns win is I was really satisfied with how they shut down Nick Chubb, right? That was like a big talking point for that game. Yep. And to be able to hold him to, what do you have, like 11 carries for 14 yards or something like that? Yeah, that was really cool. Not to get away from the Pittsburgh game. The Pittsburgh game was very convincing. I enjoyed the big plays, but I wanted to remind everyone about that.
14 for 19.
Yeah, 14 for 19. Crazy, crazy good effort there.
Right. Crazy. So my turn. So number 12 for me is that same game, the Browns game. I think before we started the show, I was like, there was games I forgot we played, and that was one of them. Circumstance, the world is against you, the elements are against you. I mean, when I look back at that game and when I watch the highlights, yes, we won the game, 31-23. It didn't feel like it was one of those games where it's like, we scored 31 points in that game. Mm-hmm. I remember being nervous because of the lack of opportunity to practice. The game was being moved and all the snow, and I'm in Buffalo. Lakeview, Hamburg, I got 84 inches of snow. Me getting home, because I was in New York City Friday, to get home, and I got back to Buffalo, couldn't get to my house. So, for me, it was even a little frazzling, and I didn't have to go play a football game. But it's down on the list for me because of who the opponent is. It's the Browns. The highlight of the game is probably what you said, holding Nick Chubb to 19 yards on 14 carries, which is just, it's hard to even imagine. If you're looking at preseason, yeah, hey, we're going to play the Browns and you're going to hold Nick Chubb to 19 yards. We're probably all going, I'm not sure about that. Like, it's Nick Chubb, right? So, but they did a great job. And then my least satisfying win. Is that how we would say that? My number 13th most satisfying win, that's probably the better way to say it, is the Bears game. Just a freezer box game in Chicago. A game that I had hoped and anticipated would be in September or October, because Chicago was one of those places my wife and I love to go for one day and just spend one day and walk around the city. It would have been amazing to cap that with a Bears game. Christmas Eve, really cold. But the highlight of that game for me coming out of it was the two long touchdown runs, one by Singletary, one by James Cook. Again, James Cook, again, showing more that I've got potential here. Like there's something in me that's a little bit different, and I've got home run speed. Now, I know that Devin Singletary's touchdown was a little bit longer, but just to see the way that James Cook was kind of developing was big. But 13 for me was the Bears.
Number 12 for me was the Jets win, 20-12. The defensive effort there was really cool. Matt Milano turned Mike White into the greater sign. You know, that was kind of cool a couple times in that game. But I tend to enjoy the games that the Bills win when Josh Allen plays well. And right, like it was just kind of a boring day for the offense. I was glad that they were able to avenge the win and not get, or avenge the loss and not get swept by the Jets, but you know, kind of a defensive struggle, which you like to see them be able to win. But the lack of offensive firepower in that one from the Bills kind of moved it down the board. Although that Dawson Knox touchdown was something to behold. And then 13 for me is the same one. It's the Chicago Bears. They won 35-13. This game was close, man. Yeah. Like late into it, it was way closer than it probably should have been. One score game in the fourth quarter, and the Bears had some opportunities. The Bills defense really tightened the screws, which was cool. Obviously the rushing success was awesome. And then the lack of rushing success for the Bears was awesome, right? Where Justin Fields was on this historic pace to break the record for rushing yards by a quarterback in a season. Had 1,000 yards going into that game already. And what the Bills held him, I think this is 7 carries for 11 yards or something like that. Yep. I mean, that was awesome to see that. So,
and Montgomery, they shut Montgomery down too.
Shut him down. Yeah. So defensively it was really good for the Bills, and then kind of leaning on the rushing attack, but Josh had a couple of goofy interceptions in there. So, and then like you said, freezer box game's a good way to put it. You just kind of felt like that was a crunchy surface, you know, just like a game. I kind of felt bad for the players. Like this kind of had to suck. How cold, the coldest regular season game in Bills history on the road.
Right.
So that says a lot. So there you have, we had the same, I think that was the only one that we had the same.
I think you're right.
Was number 13, and I could have been convinced that the Jets one was number 13, but the whole Christmas Eve thing, like, kind of an annoying thing to have to bring into your holiday, and then they didn't get back in time for Christmas morning with their families. I don't know. There's some kind of some wet blankets there on that win.
And then certain members of Buffalo citizenry, call them Bills Mafia, are angry that they finally did get to fly into Rochester, bust back to Cheektowaga, and then drove home. And it's like, this is what we're worried about right now?
Yeah, I can't. Really? I have no energy for those conversations, but I did see them.
They entertained us in a blizzard away from home and missed Christmas with their family, and you're mad. Like, okay, I get it. You're not a fan. Just tell me you're not a fan without telling me you're not a fan.
Well, my guest has been Joe Miller at Joe Miller Wired on Twitter. Joe, you have a lot going on. Can you tell the people about all the stuff that exists under your umbrella?
Well, the off season brings a respite of sorts. So during the season, I do the Overreaction post game show on Sunday, generally on Sundays, 8 o'clock, or post game with the Bills playing primetime. That's a solo, just me show, much like your Locked On Bills podcast. Mondays is Off Tackle with John Fina, where John Fina and I go into the episode talking about and recapping the game, and John does some film breakdown as much as we can in podcast form. Wednesday is the Hump Day Hotline. All of this is on Buffalo Rumblings. Wednesday is the Hump Day Hotline with Jay Spence, the King, one of my best friends. Same thing. We just kind of teeter totter, right? Last week's game, what's going on in this week's game. And then also I've started doing more stuff where it's a little more regular. So the Overreaction Buffalo podcast is something that I'm doing now on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And literally it's just 20, 25 minute segments that I'm going to probably continue through the off season. Whereas the other stuff by and large is going to take a break. So if you're looking for me now, just go to whatever podcast platform you use and type in Overreaction Buffalo, and my logo will come up and you'll be able to listen to some shorts. So
sources close to the situation have told me that I'm going to be on an upcoming episode of
Again, So this is your second. So yeah, so I do an episode on Fridays called Rapid Fire Friday where I don't pre-script. So for everybody that's listening, normally when you have a guest on a podcast, you give them the questions ahead of time so that they can kind of prepare. Well, my whole premise for Rapid Fire Friday is I pick 10 questions to bring a guest on, and then I just fire them at them. And a lot of them are personal questions just about the person so we can kind of get to know them. This Friday, you're coming on for a second appearance. You're the first second time guest. Wow. I've had. Thank you so much. Yes. Wow. And we are going to talk strictly Buffalo Bills football. And it's probably not going to be as positive as this.
All right. So Joe Miller is on Locked On Bills today. I'm on. Is it Rapid Fire Friday? Is that the technical?
Yes. On the Overreaction Buffalo podcast.
There, see, it's Rapid a Fire lot, Friday. Lot of layers there for Joe Miller. Just follow him on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. You can keep up with all of his great work. Joe, yes. As usual, you are a phenomenal guest. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. And thanks for everyone who listened to the podcast. I hope you have a great weekend. As always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review. Go Bills! And I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.